Please take your Bibles, or if you want to use the Pew Bibles, the New International Version, which I'll be reading from at this time, you can find our scripture reading on page 773, but open up to the book of Acts, chapter 4. The book of Acts, chapter 4. We're going to be reading verses 23 through 31. Acts chapter 4, beginning our reading at verse 23. On their release, Peter and John went back to their own people and reported all the chief priests and elders had said to them. When they heard this, they raised their voices together in prayer to God. Sovereign Lord, they said, you made the heaven and the earth and the sea and everything in them. You spoke by the Holy Spirit through the mouth of your servant, our father David. Why do the nations rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth take their stand and the rulers gather together against the Lord and against his anointed one. Indeed, Herod and Pontius Pilate met together with the Gentiles and the people of Israel in this city to conspire against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed. They did what your power and will had decided beforehand should happen. Now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. Stretch out your hand to heal and perform miraculous signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant Jesus. And they prayed, and the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. May the Lord add his blessing to this reading of his word today. Wonder if you'd please take your Bibles once again. Open up, if you would, to the book of Acts, chapter 4. The book of Acts, chapter 4. As we come into this particular passage of Scripture, what we're doing is we are coming into the middle of an event that took place in the early church with Peter and John. If you go back to the beginning of the chapter, you will find that Peter and John were preaching. And they were talking in their preaching about the glory of the resurrection and giving people hope and promise that this life isn't all there is, but that there is hope through Jesus Christ, who rose from the dead and who has promised to raise everyone else from the dead as well. And as the religious leaders at that time began to see how people were responding to the message of this new movement that was taking place, they got angry. And Peter and John are arrested. They're taken to a hearing, if you will. And at that hearing, they proclaim all that they had shared with the people. And in their proclamation to those who were hearing, they as well began to, in their hearts and in their minds, be amazed at these ones who were speaking because of their confidence and because of the dedication that they had and how the threatenings just didn't seem to be enough to keep them quiet. Peter and John boldly declared Jesus Christ to those who were trying them. After some discussion, they determine, we really have nothing to hold these guys on, so let's just tell them to shut up and go. And so they threaten them and then release them. And that's where we pick up our reading for this morning. I want to read at this time from the New American Standard. And I'd like you, if you don't have that translation, to just listen. And when they were released, they went to their own companions and reported all the chief priests and the elders had said to them. And when they heard this, their companions, and when they heard this, they lifted their voices to God with one accord and said, O Lord, it is thou who didst make the heaven and the earth and the sea and all that is in them, who by the Holy Spirit, through the mouth of our father David, thy servant, didst say, why did the Gentiles rage and the peoples devise futile things? The kings of the earth took their stand and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. For truly in this city there were gathered together against thy holy servant Jesus, whom thou didst anoint, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, along with the Gentiles and the peoples of Israel, to do whatever thy hand and thy purpose predestined to occur. And now, Lord, take note of their threats, and grant that thy bondservants may speak thy word with all confidence, while thou dost extend thy hand to heal, and signs and wonders take place through the name of thy holy servant Jesus. And when they prayed, the place where they had gathered together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and began to speak the word of God with boldness. Let's pray. Our gracious Father, teach us to be bold. Lord, there is a move in this nation today to silence the church. A move to tell them, you can preach in your church all you want. You can teach in your church all you want. You can worship in your church all you want. But don't bother us. Father, don't allow us to be cowards. But fill us with boldness. Don't allow us to be silent. Teach us to proclaim. Don't allow us to follow man's law, but teach us to follow yours. And we'll give you thanks and praise, for it's in your glorious name we pray. Amen. I want to share with you out of this particular passage of Scripture this morning five things. I want to share with you, first of all, the importance. Secondly, the imploring. Third, the insurrection. Fourth, the influence. And then number five, the infilling. So let's begin to break this particular passage of Scripture apart and look at what is taking place here. First of all, I want you to notice the importance that's in that 23rd verse. And it says this, and when they had been released, they went to their own companions and reported all the chief priests and the elders had said to them. You see, folks, there is a reason that God established the church. And by the way, the church is not perfect, but the church is God's will. The church is God's plan. The church is to be God's servants, reaching out into this world to make a difference for the cause of Jesus Christ. The church is important. The church is to be a body that is dependent upon one another, a body that encourages one another, a body that adds strength to one another, and that's exactly what took place with Peter and John. As soon as they are released from the prison, what's the first thing they do? But they go to their companions. Who are their companions? It's the church. That's what it is. And anyone who tries to divide the church is going to suffer greatly. But those who attach to one another and build and strengthen and encourage are a part of the plan of God and the move and the work of God. Folks, we need each other. Folks, this world needs to have us unified, built together, strengthened, not chasing every wind and wave of doctrine that comes along, but instead unified and building for the kingdom of Christ. They need to see us strengthened and filled with love for one another and having the same goal as a body of believers. And that same goal is what is presented in the very thing that we call the Great Commission. And that goal is to go into all the world and preach the gospel, to make disciples, and to baptize them in the name of Jesus Christ, to build them, to strengthen them, so that they as well can become a part of the church, can become a part of the active body of Jesus Christ, and reach out to others and bring them so that they can find life and find peace and find hope and find joy. And anyone who tries to defeat that, who tries to divide that, who tries to destroy that, is going to find that God Himself is going to interject in their situation and create real issues for them. Do not attempt to divide the body of Christ. It's not God's will. Peter and John, they've gone through this time of arrest, through the hearings. They have continued to declare the Christ. They have continued to declare the truth that there is a resurrection. They have continued to talk about Jesus Christ being the Messiah, and that through Him is life, and through Him is hope, through Him is salvation, and nowhere else, and not through anyone else. And the religious leaders don't like that message, because what they see is people are turning their eyes from their authority and looking to Jesus Christ. And folks, as that is transpiring, these leaders get angry. They grab these guys and they slap them in prison. And after they listen to their story and they see the confidence that's in these guys, they're amazed. And the people are amazed, to the point that if you read earlier in the chapter, you find that about 5,000 folks give their lives to Jesus Christ. That's evangelism. That is effective preaching and teaching. And it's done because of the power of God resting upon them, filling them with wisdom, and them not backing down. This world today doesn't care if you have faith, as long as you keep it to yourself. This world today doesn't care what takes place within these walls, as long as it doesn't translate out there. This world today does not want the interference of God in their sinful behavior and their sinful living. And the church has rolled over and played dead. Folks, we can't play dead. Jesus is writing, or he is speaking to John the Revelator. A little bit different time in John's life than at this moment. Jesus is speaking to him, and he's saying, hey, I got a letter for you to write. I want you to write it. It's a church that's called Laodicea. I want you to write this letter to the church at Laodicea. I want you to write it specifically to the spirit who's in charge there, or if you will, to the pastor. And in this letter, I want you to declare to them, look, you are not hot, you are not cold. I wish you were one or the other. But because you're neither hot nor cold, I'm going to spit you out. The literal translation of the Greek is, I'm going to vomit you out of my mouth. Did you ever stop to think, when you vomit, that means that your stomach's sick. And that whatever's in there, you got to get rid of. That's what vomiting is. Jesus says that a church that is lukewarm makes him sick to his stomach. And that church will be vomited out. Folks, God offers to us the fire of God, the power of God, and he expects from us obedience. And as we obey him, it doesn't matter that the world tells us, look, keep it inside your church. That's the last thing we should do. Because then we're saying to the world, okay, I accept what you have to say. God, sorry. But you see, too often our opinion of God is that he overlooks everything. And I'm going to tell you, God doesn't overlook everything. God will hold us responsible. He will hold us accountable for a cold spirit. He will hold us responsible. He will hold us accountable for a lukewarmness in our spiritual life. But he will bless us for the fire of God that burns through our lives in reaching out to the lost. And folks, we will see people come to a relationship with Jesus Christ if we will obey him. It's important that the very first thing that Peter and John did was they went to church. They went to their companions. They went to where they could get encouragement. For those of you who think, I don't need the church, you're in grave danger. For those of you who think, you know what, I can worship God as well on the trout stream as I can in his house, you're lying to yourself. Because you are robbing others of your fellowship, and you are robbing yourself of their fellowship. That doesn't build the kingdom of God. Be cautious. Realize the importance of the body of Christ. Secondly, I want you to notice the imploring. Look at verses 24 through 26. When the companions heard this, they lifted their voices to God with one accord and said, O Lord, it is thou who didst make the heaven and the earth and the sea and all that is in them. By the way, there wasn't this marble that exploded out of nothingness and created the universes. And if you're going to believe that kind of garbage, man, I have got a ton of land out in the center of the ocean that I will be glad to sell you. You can make a great garden there. I will be glad to sell you for millions of dollars. Just make the check out to the church. You see, that kind of stuff is just garbage. And yet people choose that over the Creator. Are you a slime ball? Stop and think about it. Because modern science will tell you, well, there was this slime that happened after this grand explosion of everything that took place, and out of that slime came these little one-celled things who suddenly began to divide, and they were then became fish. And as they became fish, they said, man, I wonder what it'd be like to live on land. And they somehow crawled out of the ocean and stood up on their 2 feet and developed a brain that could communicate with one another. Oh. If you believe that, you've got a lot more faith than I have. The truth is, God created the heavens and the earth. God created man. God breathed into man the breath of life. God is the one who designed day to turn into day, week to turn into week, month to turn into month, year to turn into year. God designed all of that. And He designed you. And He designed me. And you know, as these guys come together, Peter and John come in among the brethren, and they're telling the things that the elders and the priests had said to them. It says, and when they heard this, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord. In other words, with total agreement. And they said, it is you who did make the heaven and the earth and the sea. Isn't this something? 2,000 years ago, they're smarter than we are. And they acknowledge it. It is you who created the heaven and the earth and the sea and all that is in them, who by the Holy Spirit through the mouth of our father David thy servant did say, why did the Gentiles rage and the peoples devise futile things? The kings of the earth took their stand, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against His Christ. Folks, look at what's taking place here. Man who is outside of the grace of God is out to destroy God. What they're doing. And that's exactly what these people recognize. And that's what they're saying in that 26th verse when they say, look, the rulers were gathered together and the kings of the earth and against the Lord and against His Christ. That's what it's all about. Folks, when you see the rebellion of mankind against the church, really what is taking place is they are against God, and they're reaching out against Him and just devising things in their mind to try to destroy God. That's why Christ is an offense to those who are perishing. That's why the cross is offensive to people who don't understand the beauty of the cross. As blunt an instrument of death that it was, and it was a horrible instrument of death, it becomes a thing of glory to you and I because it was on that cross that life was brought. It was on that cross that our souls were purchased. It was on that cross where life was given an opportunity where we could find eternity. And that cross is offensive to the world. And that's why they're going to cemeteries and they're saying, look, get that cross out of here. We don't want that cross around here. It's because they're angry at God. It's really not about you and I. It's about God. just as these people declared. Lord, this isn't about Peter and John. It's about man's rejection of you and your Christ. So they're imploring for God to interact and to respond and to move in a unique way. Now look at the insurrection. Look at verses 27 and 28. For truly in this city there were gathered together against thy holy servant Jesus, whom thou didst anoint, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, along with the Gentiles and the people of Israel, to do whatever thy hand and thy purpose predestined to occur. Now, Lord, take note of their threats and grant that thy bondservants may speak thy word with all confidence. Verses 27 and 28 are where we're looking at. Did you notice the word in there in verse 28 that says, to do whatever thy hand had purpose predestined to take place? You see, folks, before the cross was ever planted on the hilltop, the cross was born in the heart of God. Because Jesus Christ is the Lamb of God that was slain before this world was ever formed. Before man ever took his first breath that God breathed into him, the cross was in the vision of God. For he knew that there would come a time when there would need to be a sacrifice for man, and that he was going to pay the price for that sacrifice. And so Jesus Christ is the Lamb of God slain before the foundation of the earth. So we move some 4,000 years down the road. Not millions and millions of years. Not billions and billions of years, but some 4,000 years down the road. We move down to that 4,000 years and it's time. And when the fullness of time had come, God sent His Son. Look it up in Galatians chapter 2. When the fullness of time had come, the fullness of time had come, and it was time now for God to interject Himself into this marble that He had created, to interject Himself into this world and into the psyche of man. And Jesus Christ was born. And He lived a life that honored His Father. He lived a life that represented God to man. And when it was time, He willingly laid down His life. That's why the Scriptures tell us, Jesus said, hey, it was for this purpose I came. I didn't come to salvage my life. I came to die, to salvage yours. I came to die that you could be made free. I came to die so that you could have hope and promise of the resurrection. It was for this purpose that I came. So you've got Pilate who says, not guilty. Yeah. Because it was time. You see, the insurrection of man against God will always be defeated. Always be defeated. And just like there was a fullness of time for the Christ to come, a fullness of time for the Christ to live, a fullness of time for the Christ to die on the cross, a fullness of time for the resurrection to take place, there is a fullness of time when the sky will split and Jesus will come back. Not a minute before, not a minute after, but a fullness of time. The book of 2 Thessalonians tells us that when Jesus Christ comes back, He's coming back for those who love His appearing. He's coming back for those who are so fully surrendered to God that they anxiously look to the skies for His return. And are excited about what is to take place from there. I'm going to tell you what, if you're walking around with sinful hearts, with sinful attitudes, if you're walking around with sin in your heart, when that sky splits, there will be nothing in you but dread. But for those who have received Jesus Christ, those who are walking in faithful obedience to Him, faithful obedience to His Word, who love His appearing, who are looking forward to His coming, there will be nothing in your heart but joy and excitement. What are you going to have? What are you going to have? There's an insurrection that's taking place. And it's this world fighting the very power of God. Just like in those days. Number four, look at the influence. Verses 29 and 30. And now, Lord, take note of their threats and grant that thy bondservants may speak thy word with all confidence, while thou dost extend thy hand to heal, and signs and wonders take place through the name of thy holy servant Jesus. The influence. Do you have confidence to share Jesus Christ? Do you expect to see miracles take place when you share the love of Christ with someone? I'm going to tell you what, folks. Every individual who receives Jesus Christ as their personal Savior is a living, walking, breathing miracle. And the day of grace is quickly drawing to a close. And so you can either continue in your stubborn rejection, or you can submit yourself in total submission to God and be filled with the glory of God and with hope and be a part of the resurrection, not the insurrection. You see, the choice is yours. Choose you this day who you will serve. You choose. God draws, God woos, the Holy Spirit speaks, but He doesn't violate the gift of choice that He gave to you. He gives you opportunity to repent and to receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, or He gives you the opportunity to reject. If you receive Jesus Christ, you have hope, you have promise, you have glory, you have strength. If you reject, you have burning coals of sulfur and ash forever. What do you choose? You can be a part of the insurrection if that's what you want, fighting against God. Or you can be a part of the resurrection if you want, where your spirit is now resurrected in the image of Christ, your body resurrected later on, and be given hope forever. Or you can reject. It's your choice. Choose you this day who you will serve. But God wants you to be an influence for his kingdom, for his glory. And you can be an influencer if you'll choose God's way. Now notice the infilling, verse 31. And when they had prayed, the place where they had gathered together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak the word of God with boldness. They weren't going to listen to the voices that said, we're going to let you go, but go out and you shut up about this name Jesus. They weren't going to listen to that. Because they were going to preach and proclaim the truth of the resurrected Christ. And that's what we need to do. In this modern day world, we need to preach Christ, him crucified, resurrected, and coming back. Would you please stand? At this time, I'm going to ask you to please take your hymnals. Open up to number 379. I've gone over a couple of minutes today. I'm not going to apologize for that because I believe that the Lord ordained it. Number 379. I believe that God is speaking to someone here today. I don't know who you are, but you know. God is speaking and he's saying, look, you've compromised. Now it's time to make it right. Now it's time where I want all of your life. I don't want a part of you. I want all of you. So if you're here today and you're sensing that your life's just not right with God, you know it's not. And now's the time to get it right. So we're going to sing number 379. If God is speaking to you, you step out and come. Today would be the perfect day to give your heart and life over. Let's sing. Our gracious Father, take us, fill us, use us, and Father, build your kingdom through us. Let us be instruments in your hands that can be instruments of grace and good. Take us out of the enemy's hands so that we are not instruments of division. And Father, let us each and every one honor you and bring glory to your matchless and powerful name. For it's in your glorious name we pray and ask all of these things. Amen.